Good evening, everyone, and welcome to ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. This is Jackie Salvitti and my wonderful co-host, Veronica.
Hi,
Jackie. Hi, Ronnie.
Hi.
Okay.
Is it cold there? Are you cold or what?
Oh, jeez, am I cold.
We're down to 13 today.
Oh, lovely. Okay, remind me not to go to Washington. I'm having a hard enough time in Vegas. Okay, tonight's show, self-limitation. Every excuse and obstacle is being served up to us now. And, you know, I write these shows and then they send me a zinger. Okay, I send out the announcement and they're like, and you thought that was bad? Watch this. Oh, I love it. It's all being shown to us now and we're paying attention. We can make those quantum leaps. It's not
Woo-hoo!
Always pretty. Yeah, it's not pretty or fun always, but it's fascinating. And, you know, I think I've gotten such a sick sense of humor that I actually do sit around and laugh about it. And I'm thinking, okay, I have really lost it. We do have some questions that people, there's one somebody sent me last week, and my receiving end was messed up on ET Healing, so it didn't come through, and then I lost it. So if anybody has sent something that doesn't get read tonight or answered, please resend. Okay.
Or they can send them to my email, too, Veronica,
yes.
Veronica Entwistle.
Yes. Okay. This came in tonight. I don't know if anybody had time to read it, but we're being hit with massive solar flares. So today has been a kind of a really strange day. So if you're feeling really wimpy, that's why. And this was cute because the announcement said, scientists say that CMEs do not affect humans, only impact on radio waves due to solar radiation, extra charging, and ionosphere, blah, 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 blah. I can tell you my phones have been flicking off and on. Everything's been going all day long. So unless the team is just playing a joke, it is affecting everything. Also, today we're in a Sun-Saturn cardinal square, which, oh my God, again, I didn't get this till late. And this is only for 24 hours, thank you. So, again, it's offloading pressure, this kind of feeling of immobility. Chains are coming off, seriousness, restrictions, feeling somber. It's been a weird. I've talked to different people and my friends today, and I called somebody, I guess at my lunch break, they were in bed. And I'm, are you sleeping? And she's very sensitive. She was like, it's a strange day. I don't know what else to do. So, anyway.
Well, you know what? All this description, I went racing off to my chiropractor because I thought I was losing it totally. I didn't know if I was going to ascend or fall on the ground.
Oh, again, this really sensitive people were really blasted today. So bless your heart. Hopefully this explains it to you. I know that I was reeling today, but I wasn't, you know, again, I had an out-of-the-blue thing that just knocked my socks off, but I absolutely jumped right back up and said, yay, I can handle it.
Wow.
I have to read this with you. This is about freedom, and this is the name of the bird, but to me, this story is about freedom, which is where we're going. I mean, through all of this and our self-limitations, all the excuses that we've had personally, and I'm right up there with you guys. Frieda and I have been together 11 years, and if you've heard this, sorry, I have to do this again, this summer. She came in as a baby in 1998, and Freedom, by the way, is an eagle. With two broken wings, her left wing doesn't open all the way, even after surgery. It was broken in four places. She's my baby. When Freedom came in, she could not stand. Both wings were broken. She was emaciated and covered in ice. We made the decision to give her a chance at life, so I took her to the vet's office. From then on, I was always around her. We had her in a huge dog carrier with the top off, and it was loaded up with shredded paper for her to lay in. I used to sit and talk to her, urging her to live, to fight, and she would lay there looking at me with those big brown eyes. We also had a tube feed for her for weeks. This went on for 4 to 6 weeks, and by then she still couldn't stand, and it got to the point where the decision was made to euthanize her if she couldn't stand in a week. You know you don't want to cross that line between torture and rehab, and it looked like death was winning. She was going to be put down that Friday, and I was supposed to come in on Thursday afternoon. I didn't want to go to the center that Thursday because I couldn't bear the thought of her being euthanized. But I went anyway, and when I walked in, everyone was grinning from ear to ear. I went immediately back to her cage, and there she was, standing on her own, a big, beautiful eagle. She was ready to live, and I was just about in tears by then. That was a good day. We knew she could never fly, so the director asked me to glove train her. I got her used to the glove and then to Jess's, and we started doing education programs for schools in Western Washington, your town. We wound up in the newspapers, radio, TV. Miracle Pets even did a show about us. In the spring of 2000, I was diagnosed with, sorry if I bawl when I do this, I was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. I had stage 3, which is not good, one major organ plus everywhere. So I wound up doing 8 months of chemo, lost the hair, the whole bit, a lot of work, missed it. When I felt good enough, I would go to Sarvi and take Freedom out for walks, and Freedom would also come to me in my dreams and help me fight the cancer. This happened time and time again. Fast forward to November 2000, the day after Thanksgiving, I went in for my last checkup. I was told that if the cancer was not all gone after 8 rounds of chemo, then my last option was a stem cell transplant. Anyway, they did the test. I had to come back Monday for the results. I went in Monday, and I was told that all the cancer was gone. So the first thing I did was to get up to Sarvi and take the big girl out for a walk. It was misty and cold, and I went to her flight and dressed her up. And we went out front to the top of the hill, and I hadn't said a word to Freedom, but somehow she knew. God. She looked at me and wrapped both her wings around me to where I could feel them pressing on my back. I was engulfed in the eagle wings, and she touched my nose with her beak and stared into my eyes, and we just stood there like that for I don't know how long. That was a magic moment. We've been soulmates ever since she came in. This is a very special bird. On a side note, I've had people who were sick come up to us when we were out, and Freedom has some kind of hold on them. I once had a guy who was terminal come up to us, and I let him hold her. His knees just buckled, and he swore he could feel her power course through his body. I have so many stories like that. I never forget the honor I have of being so close to such a magnificent spirit as Freedom. Sorry.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Well, you know, my Millie girl was like that. She died a couple of years ago, but this story, from a perspective of Freedom, and his story was so beautiful. Unfortunately, we're not on television, so I can't show the pictures. But the energy of this magnificent, magnificent eagle is just, and to see him staring into his owner's eye, just unbelievable. So, what's going on? Sorry. We're in the midst of opportunities to clear deep cellular stuff right now, and all the damage that you may have cleared in the emotional body, but that's still stuck in the physical cells, and this is a phenomena I've been seeing all week. I'm fascinated by it. It's been a firestorm for me personally, and I've seen it in others. Big emotional damage sitting in this cell. We cleared the emotional body, but there's still cellular stuff, which I am fascinated by. Now, you know, we've cleared this stuff. I can't do power retrievals, and the person that we did this on doesn't do power retrievals. What I've seen with a lot of other people that have done the power retrievals, again, you know, I'm not touting here. I'm just saying their stuff seems to have moved much more. Um, your higher self, your soul, your unseen friends, the team, and others are sending loving opportunities to finally clear some of the woundings that have been sitting in your cells for so long. And I really, much of it comes up around men, women, of course, mothers, fathers. And these are actually the causes still for self-limitation. And there's a part of us that if we limit ourselves, we won't have to face the deep woundings that at some level still aren't healed. And they scare the heck out of us. And it's often at a subconscious level. You know, everybody listening to this show, and Veronica, dear God, you too, has done so much work, and I hear this all the time. I've done this work for years and years and years and years, and I've cleared and cleaned and worked with this person and that. And you know, you almost hate to say to them, but there's still stuff there. It's just another layer. I'm so sorry. Fear of failure, fear of being hurt, vulnerability. All this stuff right now, and I'm seeing it in the most magical, humorous. Again, I have very funny guys. Humorous, and sometimes they don't give me the humor up front. They let me jump right in with both feet and see if I can take it apart and really recognize what's going on. And the key here is not to panic. And I know because I went into panic this week, and I can tell you it wasn't fun. And actually where I was trembling, my cells were responding to something, okay, that was so deep. And I knew it wasn't in my emotional body, it was in my cellular body. And I was trembling. So I mean, it absolutely betrayed me, and I was in a very intimate situation. But that intimacy triggered the wounding that was still in myself. And I was like, oh, my God. they can surface through something that seems harmless at first and yet triggers a response that has us baffled. It may be an anger response. It may be an emotional response. We may not know what that is. Even the story of freedom, for me, touched, of course, my cancer, but it also touched my Millie girl, who was my companion for 12 years. And when I say companion, I never went anywhere without that dog. And if she didn't go with me, I had, you know, people, believe me, this dog, there was nothing I wouldn't do for her. She didn't go to doggy hotels. She didn't go, I mean, that never happened. And I literally, for 12 years, my life became very, I just didn't go anywhere because I didn't want to ever leave her alone. And when I worked and I was on the road, she was in the car with me. Didn't matter the weather. We had figured out different ways to compensate. So this is kind of like the game of Clue. And, you know, these bizarre things are showing up. I will share a couple of my own because they're just too bizarre. And again, my life is always exaggerated, I'm sure, so that I can share it with people so that they can look at their own. I don't recommend that people do things the way I do, which is way too exaggerated.
Just a little bit of pain maybe, huh?
Yes. So I'll just tell you the cute story, try to make it short. My girlfriend calls me and says, I want you to go look at it. This is how funny this is. Off the wall. And she is off the wall. I want you to go drive a Bentley. Now, I want everybody to understand there is no way in this world that I, A, could or would buy a Bentley. And I thought, okay, as crazy as this sounds, I'm supposed to go do it. Something's going on. I don't know what it is. So I got dressed and, you know, I had some things to do. This was on a Saturday, last Saturday. And I met her there, 4 o'clock. She had already picked out. And she said, don't ask them how much it is because they'll lie. I knew, what I knew that meant was, because she's had Bentleys and Rolls Royces and so on. I don't know what was going on in her mind, but anything is possible with her. So I asked the price of the car, and I was so proud of myself because my knees did not buckle. I did not flinch. And I thought, I'm so far in now, I have to do this. And and really, it was like driving a tank. It was absolutely exquisite. But, you know, it made me laugh. So I came back, and there was a man on the lot, and there was such familiarity. I had no idea what this was, and it just kind of kicked in and whatever, and it was like, it was amazing to me, but there was this familiarity, and you know how this one goes. So needless to say, he gets my number, calls as soon as he leaves the lot. I don't get the call till later because I had other plans. And he wanted me to go out after I'd already come home, put my robe on. Not happening. Went out with him the next night. Had an extraordinary time. It was so intense, and I thought, oh, Lord. And we both cried, and I'm like, oh, my Lord, I've been down this road before. I just know this is scary. So I'm again the next night, and he's Israeli, and it was very, because I do a lot of work with the whole Jewish culture. That's a session I do every week with this woman. We work on the entire Jewish lineage. And so this has been certainly a fascination to me. He's Israeli. And they not only go into the military, but they're in the reserves for 30 years, and they have to go back every time there's a war. And so in his home, I saw all of these magnificent pieces that were, he's a Levite, so he comes, I mean, he never said that, but because of his name, he is part of that tribe and so on and so forth, which is the tribe that Moses was of, and they were the priests and the blah, 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 blah. And I fell in love with these different pieces in his home, which when I looked them up on a computer, I realized why. It was really quite amazing. But I saw the disassociation, and it was fascinating to me, and again, triggering this old love of my life thing, you know, that it had been so devastating that I actually died from. So all of a sudden, my body is trembling, and I'm like, oh, my God. And he said, what can I do to call? And I could not answer him. I was trembling, and I was trying to stay calm and blah, blah, blah. But myself, all of a sudden, took off, and all the damage that I incurred as a result of that relationship physically, which devastated different parts of my body, was so fascinating. This stuff is literally trying to move through my body. And it was the most fascinating. So here I am with someone with this enormous lineage. And my curiosity always gets the best of me because I want to study him. And so I moved through some of the most fascinating energy. And my second chakra took off with a life of its own. My heart chakra, myself. It was, and I realized that I had blocked physical intimacy as a result of myself. I had discovered this years ago, put it to bed, never thought about it again. Certainly never thought I was still carrying it. But I always had this kind of shield up and realized that's why. I had managed to create kind of a shield where I disassociated. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. I mean, humans are so amazing that we create these interesting ways of dealing with things and disassociating. And right now, it's being served up to us right and left and right and left. And, you know, it was so interesting. You know, he was doing this and doing that for me and so on and so forth. But there were major flags for me. And regardless, you know, my friends or my kids, you know, my God, he's this, he's that. And I said, you know what? This would not be healthy. Wouldn't be healthy for him, and it wouldn't be healthy for me. And otherwise, my time would go into trying to help and repair him with something that I know in my life he would never understand, nor would he endorse. He probably would never talk to me again if I gave him the full story of what I do. And I can't not be totally authentic. But it was really interesting for me to be able to push away from that as gracefully as I could. Today, I get an email from somebody I haven't heard from for several years. Again, the fellow where this all originated, all the damage. And I went, you guys are just relentless. But it was fascinating to me and freeing, which is why I wrote this, read the story about freedom, because that came to me this morning. And in reading it, I really got the whole concept of the freedom of walking through the old experiences with new eyes, a new sense of confidence, a new sense of trust and commitment. And no matter how glorious it may look, being able to recognize, no, that this isn't right for me. And it was pretty, you know, he's unbelievably wealthy and very charming and sexy and this and that. I mean, God, you name it. But for me, it just wasn't appropriate. And I just think it's really wonderful when I got the message from the other person, this great love of my life, I just sent a one-word answer, and which happened to be nope. But all of this has kind of evolved. You know, I sent out the announcement, but things have been happening so fast that, you know, it's like the announcement goes out, and then all these other things come in. And the limitations, and I've really gotten a chance to look at my own life. I mean, this has really sent me into reflection, even though I'm running around like crazy lately, but really sent me into reflection about how easily, even though I may have healed the emotional stuff in the emotional body, when the cellular releases start to come, they will trigger through everything, including the chakra. And I mean, I'd love to hear your input on this, Veronica, because I just found it so fascinating.
It's wonderful, actually, in the sense that you could break it down and know that, hey?
It was so quick.
Mm-hmm.
It was so quick. And the understanding, I have this tremendous compassion for this person. And I just, there's a part of him, the soul part of him, which has always gotten me in trouble, I see the beauty of who he really is. But on the other side, as a human, what he's gone through in his disassociation and what he's done to survive in his disassociation, which is accumulate, build, that works for him. I mean, in addition to the fact that we have cultural differences and so on. But fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. And so, again, getting back to all of you, though, these chains of restrictions are lifting towards freedom. That was the reason for the story of freedom. And that all of us have been held back from experiencing the life we were born to live by cellular stuff. I've seen it coming up with people and their children with so many different situations.
So it isn't just a lineage, it's all these different levels of self, isn't it?
It truly is. Mm-hmm. And It truly is. I mean, I would use you and your family history, certainly mine and all my life experiences. We've dealt with them in whatever way and done so much healing. But something can trigger if there's stuff still in the cells. You know, and you do a tremendous amount of work on yourself in terms of singing into your chakras and God knows what. You know, I don't have time to sing to my chakras. They're lucky that I love them.
Well, let me ask you this. Can I, this is going to sound like a change, but it's really not. Is I have a woman friend who, as you know, is transiting. I went over and spent last weekend with her. Well, the interesting thing is that she is eager to pass. She's ready. She died last February, but they resuscitated her. She's 80 years old. And the problem is that her cell, this is the way it is, like she's ready to go and the cancer has taken her body, but she's really strong and the resistance in her body is tremendous. And I was fascinated by it. She said, what am I doing to myself? I'm ready to go. You know, she's very, very spiritual. And I've heard this from other people too. So I'm thinking as you talk, isn't that similar? Isn't that the sort of the same problem?
That's a little different in that that's collective. The fear of death is collective. And that will trigger at a subconscious and unconscious level and override what you think is your conscious desire.
Yeah. So what do we do to break into that? I mean, in both cases, your case in terms of the memory, and in her case, in terms of the collective, what do we do? We need to be able to
Well, the collective piece, and again, you know, I'd love to give you an immediate answer on this, but I can't.
Oh, darn.
I know. I do apologize. Almost everyone has fear at the moment of death built into the system, the fear of the unknown. And if she can recognize that that's what's really operating, okay, here is the issue you're dealing with this. When she recognizes that, she can change. I mean, I know that I hate to be really simple, like a simpleton with this, but it really is. If she changes that belief and really steps into it, that fear of the unknown, that built-in fear of death, that humans were, you know, it's there. And, I mean, this is why they kind of call the death rattle and things. That is that drive, the primitive drive to survive.
Mm-hmm.
It's primitive.
I think it's a cellular drive to survive as well. It's not just your personality. It's not about...
Oh, no. We're not talking about individual personality. We're talking about genetics, cellular, collective cellular. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we carry the sum total of all experience in ourselves. And that's why we can be triggered by various things that relate to this and this and this and this by one trigger.
Mm-hmm.
And then the reverberation continues out. It doesn't stop there. At some level, everybody, the more people are healing, the more everybody gets to heal. When you're in a polarity duality reality, you have to have that kind of built-in fear of death. Otherwise, people would say, you know, I'm over this, I'm out of here. What you're seeing now with the younger people, they're out of here quickly. They don't have it as strongly.
Mm-hmm. And that's just because the collective is changing, moving.
The collective, you know? And they come in wired differently than we are.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen it working with them. I know
mm-hmm.
I have.
Mm-hmm.
They are wired differently.
Mm-hmm.
I did a thing years ago. And there were probably 30 or 40 people at my home. And it was taking people to the Akashic Records, to their life contract. And there was a way to get there and so on and so forth. They dropped it into me. This is what had to be done and blah, blah, blah to get there and so on and so forth. And so the young people that were there did not want to change their death contract. They didn't want to live any longer than what they had contracted for.
Oh, wow, interesting.
And to me, that was, you know.
Certainly an indicator.
Yes, it absolutely is. When I went through an awful lot of illness, my son was always saying to me, why do you fight leaving?
But, you know, here's another little take on it is my friend, who is 80, as I said, she's been lifting weights and going to the gym like you and many of the other people we know a lot. And even though her body is completely taken over in many ways, she's stronger than can be. You know what I mean? So maybe that's that fighting death in a different way.
Well,
maybe
it could be, and it could be also a drive for vitality,
yeah.
A sense of control over the aging process in that my body may decline, but I'm going to be strong. I'm not going to be some weakling. You know, that can be built in, and I've seen people like that. Certainly, I will be the one, you know, scooching my wheelchair to the gym. okay, we have some questions tonight. You have them. I do not.
Oh,
and, okay. There's only a few of them, and then the team's going to want to talk. So I'm going to go into channel here.
Do you want me to read the whole question that Squirrel sent? It's quite long.
Well, just take it, you know, break it down the way you think it's fine with me. I don't
care.
I don't have it, so I remember it being long. I just don't remember what it said, so, which is probably just as well. Well, okay, sorry, I have to turn the light off, and my clicker's not working. They've been laughing at me for a week, so I have no idea what they're going to say tonight.
They're just having fun.
All right. Welcome, everyone, and Veronica, dear. All right, you have questions.
Yes, the first question is from, and hello, it's good to talk with you again. The first question is from Squirrel, who's a contributor to the show, and she's asking if we're making a change in our projections, we're seeing what we are projecting, and we're making a shift in it, then consciously making belief changes. What changes in our experiences will we see with those who are playing in our illusion to awaken us? Do some of the players in our illusion remain the same, or do we experience or attract new players altogether? Do some of the players in our life remain the same energy as the energy between us shifts? I think this is enough questioning. And there,
all right, all right.
You got it?
All right, hold on. All right, let's go back to...
Oh, and one part here is, and does it even matter if the other player makes any shift at all?
All right. Well, all right, let's take this apart. All right. First, your job, all of you, is to look at you. All right? If you're attracting things into your life that are other than what you'd like to see. All right, this process is really very simple. What would I have to believe to attract this kind of person? Now, we're going to address this and expand it a little bit more. All right, let's say you're attracting men you're not interested in. All right, they always turn out to be old this or that or unavailable or distant or whatever. What is the belief, all right, that you're holding that needs to change? What about this sends you immediately, all right, into some deep work? What are my beliefs about men? All right? My core beliefs. Now, these are pretty simple because what we've seen with people is that they're pretty general. Men are weak. Men are emotionally unavailable. Men disappoint me. Men never come through when I need them.
Men are those of the collective, do you think?
No. We're not talking about collective beliefs right now. We're talking about individual. When you're changing beliefs, all right, you're changing your belief. You're not going to change the collective belief. You're working within your hologram. All right? Your hologram. It's all spinning out of your mind. Therefore, change your mind, change your world. Change your mind, change your life. Change your mind, change your relationship. Change your mind, change what you attract. Now, when we say change our mind, we're not talking about, well, I've decided this and I expect to see something different. Well, that's not what we're talking about. That's arrogance. Get in there and really work with the belief. What do I have to believe to attract this? Someone told us once, and this has been talked about before, that all the men in their lives were being rude to them. Right? And angry at them. Now, in this case, they were reflecting back. Right? The anger that this person had at men. It still goes back to, what do I have to believe to attract this? What's wrong? Well, first of all, obviously I'm angry at men. And I'm not dealing with it, so it's coming at me. It's coming at me in more than one situation. All right, now, if you change your beliefs, what was the second part of the question, Veronica?
I think it was, does it even matter if the other player makes a shift? The second part of the...
Well, that was at the end, but there was something more under the original question.
Okay, do the players in our illusion remain the same, or do we experience and attract new players altogether?
All right. Two things can happen. The players that are in your life can change when you change. That doesn't necessarily mean that they always will. So, your little revolving door, all right? You may have one player that all of a sudden you think, oh, they're so nice. They're so cooperative. All right? And this is where you get out your examination. All right, based on what I'm creating, I already know what I was dealing with before. I know I've had these beliefs. So then the question becomes, if I change my beliefs, do they change? They can change if you change, really change your beliefs. Not do it as if, but really change. I mean, we're talking about writing the new belief, sitting with the new belief, processing the new belief and the old one. Why did I feel this way? Let's process it. I've got a new belief. I'm going to imagine how it feels. These are very simple processes, but many people skip them. What does it look like? In my movie, all right, to believe this, the new belief, and then put the emotion with it, the excitement with it. This is very simple. This is standard fare. But you don't get to do it without processing. All right? What got me to this old belief? Who am I really angry at? Always go back. If it's a man, go back to dad. If it's a woman, go back to mom. See if you're still carrying a lot of that, projecting it on them. That's the core. All right? Now, if you're not, fine, then go to the next step. Can you attract new people when you change? Yes. Magically. Beautifully. Wonderfully. But there are some core issues, which is loving yourself. Truly loving yourself. Feeling handsome, feeling beautiful, feeling lovely, feeling loving. All right? I really feel connected to my higher self. I'm radiating from a point of real love and joy. You've all had days where you wake up in the morning and the day is just phenomenal. All right, what's different about, nobody ever tries to figure out what's different about that day and why. You woke up, you felt good. Probably been in the dream time with counselors and all kinds of wonderful things. And the day flowed, reflected all of that back to you beautifully. Question would be, is it really that simple? Takes practice, yes. Is it simple? It's, yes. In a way, it is. It's easy, but it's complex. All right. Shortcuts aren't going to get you there. Now, you can process in the midst of something. All right. What am I really seeing? What are my beliefs? What's coming up in my belief structure from the past? Especially if things go sour. Oh, geez, this just turned sour. What happened? What old beliefs did I bring with me? Find a way, after the experience, go home and process. Process in the evening, process in the morning, whatever feels best. Don't beat yourself up. That's not the idea here. Squirrel's question was, do I really care? Again, compassionate detachment for all things. All right? You've called it unconditional love. But unconditional love can get a lot of you in trouble. Because sometimes you don't know where that boundary is. Compassionate detachment. Not disassociation. Detachment. There's a difference. Right? The minute you're into blame, anger, expectations, and on and on and on. Now,
but I think one of her questions was, does it matter if the other player makes a shift? And maybe that, maybe she means in that.
That's what we're talking about. Does it matter? That's exactly what we're addressing. As long as she's clean and clear, right, about what she's doing, and the reasons for it. And she's doing it from the highest level of herself. She doesn't have to worry about that. The intent is not to hurt others. The intent is not to be unkind. But do not sacrifice yourself in the process. Well, I just feel so sorry for them and I want to help. And I went, wait a minute. Is this the right thing for you? Here we go back to, and the more you get really clear on this, right, that you're functioning in a hologram. It's spinning out of your mind. You are creating. You are creating. You are creating it all. Now, every once in a while, somebody's going to drive by you and give you some unkind sign because you weren't paying attention or yell at you or whatever. And you can sit and try to process, why did I attract that? Or you can say, it wasn't about me. And just let it go. And by the way, I need to be paying more attention to my driving. Now, because we don't have Squirrel on the phone. All right, read the question one more time, please, since it's a long one.
Yes, it is. Okay, so it's we're making belief changes. What sort of changes in our experience will we see?
All right, right there.
Okay.
All right. When making belief changes, this is so important. When making belief changes, all right, what you're going to see is what you truly expect. Now, all right, this is like programming for something. You're going to get what you really want, not necessarily what you say you want. You're going to get what you really expect, not what you say you expect. And this is where the processing comes in. All the objectors, all the histories, all the way it's always been. Oh, sure, I'm going to do this process, but I know it's not going to work. Well, and forgiveness is a part of this, people. Forgiving yourself and forgiving the other. If you're still carrying anger about something that happened, you're changing a belief. It's going to veer off a little here, veer off a little there. You're not going to get exactly the kind of results you want. All right, let's move on to the other question.
All right, this one is, why is it easier to help others? Oh, and thank you for answering that. That's helpful. Why is it easier to help others than ourselves? And this is from Sarah.
To help others?
Why is it easier to help others than ourselves?
Oh, than ourselves. Oh, this is a good one. Sarah, we hope you're listening. It's very easy to help others because you have objectivity. All right? You aren't emotionally entangled in that person's issue. Therefore, it's much easier to see it more clearly. You don't have entanglement. Now, again, we're going to go back to the processing. When you do help people, we would recommend that you look at, how does this apply to me? This person is in my space right now, or I'm in there, and they're asking for assistance. And I'm going to try to help them in whatever ways that I can based on what I see, what I sense, however you're doing. And we would recommend whenever you do that, take some time to look at, does this apply to me? How can I use this in my life? You see, many of you help others walk away feeling, wow, I helped that person, isn't that great? But you don't always take the time to process what happened and recognize that, again, as the channel talked about in her dialogue, that it may be a key for you. It may be a clue for you. There may be something similar within you that you also need to look at. Now her question is very broad, and we want to say this to her. It could be construed as when it's helping others to give to others, not to give to yourself, and we want to caution you here with this as well. Please, people, this is the time to be self-loving. Many of you work very hard to help and assist others. And many of you are terrible about being loving to yourself, being kind to yourself, taking the pressure off of you, feeling that there is some form of obligation. I have to help, I have to help, I have to do this, I have to do that. And because you believe that, you'll continue to attract people with urgency, urgency, urgency. More reasons to ignore your own needs, your own wants. That's not the way to help people. Also, and we want you all to remember this, exchange of energy. And this is something a lot of people forget about. For many years, it was very fashionable, actually, to help people spontaneously and to do this and do that. We're not discouraging you from being kind. That's not what we're saying. But an exchange of energy works like this, all right? For those of you that do any form of session, people come to you in whatever form, you help them, they give you something in return, whatever that may be. Perhaps you exchange energies in some other form, that's fine. Our channel, many years, all right, she didn't want to receive money for anything, so she helped this one and helped that one and did this reading, did that thing. And finally someone said to her, at our prompting, by the way, you're putting them into obligation. And she was shocked at the comment. You're putting them into a sense of obligation. In a way, you feel benevolent for having helped people. And that's wonderful. All right? That's part of the ease of helping others. There's also this wonderful sensing of, I've done something valuable, something important, something worthwhile. I've helped my fellow man. We understand that. And if for you the exchange of energy is, all right, thank you for the opportunity for me to work with you. I got so much out of this. That is my return. They then feel that there was an exchange of energy. There's no sense of owing on their part. Does that make sense, Veronica?
It sure does. And we have just enough time for the final question.
Go ahead.
What are ghosts by Debbie Newman?
Yes. Yeah, Debbie. All right. Well, this is really a pretty simple one. We wouldn't call them ghosts by any stretch of the imagination. There are lower forms that have not really crossed over. They're kind of caught in the astral realm. That's probably what you're referring to in terms of beings that are kind of hanging around that just didn't cross over. Now, there are lots of beings who've made the transition that hang out, but in a different way. Would you agree, Veronica? This is
I sure would. We see a lot of them, don't we?
Yes, absolutely. Now, the scary boo kind of stuff, all right, are beings for whatever reason, some of them because of addictions, some of them because of frustrations and anger, unsatisfied emotional energies that kept them from crossing over at the time. And really got stuck. Really got stuck. All right. So hopefully you're not dealing with a ghost.
If you are, continue to send it light. Not fear. Not fear. Love and light. Stay as bright as you can. But that's what you're talking about, dear one. That is what you are talking about.
Excellent.
All right.
And I guess we'll have to sign
off. All right,
off.
Veronica, talk about your show very quickly.
8 o'clock on Tuesday night, we'll have Louisa Williams, Dr. Louisa Williams, with Radical Medicine. It's a wonderful interview. It's an older interview, but excellent.
All right.
And Thursday, we'll be back with you all on Radiance by Design at 7 o'clock. Thank you.
Wonderful. All right. We'd love to work with all of you tonight. You're all ready now to start seeing things in your experience, and it would be us, your higher selves, your guides, your unseen friends, as we call. We would like to work with you if you call us in. I'd like to have some clues, all right? But pay attention, people, and have fun with this. It can be uncomfortable, that's all right, but trust yourselves to be strong enough. You've come so far to be able to deal with whatever you encounter. Go through it clean. It has been a joy to be with all of you tonight. And Veronica, thank you so much for your wonderful work. We love all of you very much. We send you all great joy, great love, great happiness, and great exploration. Namaste.
Namaste.
Okay, we're still on. We love you all very much. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll talk to you next week. For anybody who'd like to send in questions, you can send them to Jackie at ethealing.com or to Veronica at Veronica Entwistle, and we'll be happy to work with them next week. We love you all very, very much. Have an exciting week. Just watch the electrical energy. You're not losing your mind. Good night, everyone.
Good thing to hear that. Good night, everybody. Thank you for listening.
Good night, Ronnie.
Good night, Jackie.